Welcome to the new RNIB NA podcast, a new monthly podcast from RNIB in Northern Ireland for people affected by sight loss. Listen up, speak up, break down barriers. And you're very welcome to episode 9 of the RNIB NI podcast. Listen up, speak up and break down barriers. We're back once again for another installment, another episode. I can't believe the months are flying by. Thank you so much again to everybody who's getting in touch via the email rnibni@rnib.org.uk. You can also get us on social media. Just look for RNIB Northern Ireland or RNIB NI on Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky and LinkedIn as well. There's no excuse for not getting in touch, folks. We've got a jam-packed episode once again. I always say that. I know it's becoming a bit of a... I'm like a long-playing record, aren't I? The same thing. But this is where you come in. This is where you're fundamental to the... to basically what I say. So get in touch, folks. Let me know what you want to hear. Every episode, we're committed to having somebody affected by sight loss speaking on the podcast in basically any capacity. If you've got something you want to share... Maybe you want to tell your story about your own sight loss. Maybe you want to tell us something interesting that you're getting involved with that you think others might find interesting. Maybe you want to share a little bit, maybe a moan or a complaint or a gripe you might have about, you know, life and things that grind your gears, things that, you know, tangle your line, as they say. Get in touch. We'd love to hear it. But the bottom line is you can shape this podcast and you can make it into something you want to hear and you want to listen to. And more importantly, you want to tell everybody about. That's what we really want you to do. But enough of that there. So coming up on today's episode, we've got a lot of stuff to get through. We've got our regular campaigns and policy update from Paula Beattie and our friends at Connect Radio. Thanks very much for the audio as always, guys. You can listen to Connect Radio on Freeview and also by telling your smart speaker to just play RNIB Connect Radio. That's the best way. We also have, it was Volunteers Week back at the start of June, the first week of June. So Joanne Wilson from the volunteering team here at RNIB drops in. This audio was recorded just before Volunteers Week. So I do apologise. It's not quite, you have to imagine I spoke to her before Volunteers Week, but that's all right. We don't mind. It's all relevant. And Joanne's brilliant. We'll have her back on here again. I'm positive about that. We also hear from the NaviLens launch at Belfast Grand Central Station back in May. And we have a couple of great interviews, including Chris Conway, CEO of TransLink. He dropped in to talk to us about their installation of NaviLens and I suppose the thinking and the hopes and the aspirations for that system in the Grand Central Station, Belfast. We also hear from Raul, who is one of the team at NaviLens themselves, who come over from Spain to the launch to tell us a little bit more about NaviLens and what they're about. We also hear from Tori Tennant, who is herself a user of NaviLens, and me and Tori get talking about all things transport and travel and, you know, the ups and downs of travelling on public transport when you're blind or partially sighted. But first of all, leading us off, blasting us off, is I'm going to talk to Stephen Keeley, who's CEO of the BRM Group. Now, the BRM Group, and Stephen in particular, is leading the way with a really exciting festival up in Dungiven called Rev It Up. Rev with three Vs, by the way. So Rev It Up Festival. Some of you may know already know about this, but it's a family-friendly tractor pulling and music festival. This is its third year, and RNIB are delighted to be one of the chosen charities who will be present at the event for the second year now. We will be up there from the 17th to the 19th of July up in Dungiven. It's a great, great family day out. You've got like tractor pulling, for those of you who are into that kind of thing. We have got children's amusements, but what really excites me is we have a great lineup of music, live music as well. And I'll even be performing myself on Sunday the 19th in the afternoon as well. So if there's any excuse, if there's any reason for you to stay away, I mean, any reason for you to come along, drop in any day between the Friday 17th, Saturday 18th, Sunday 19th. But what we're trying to get across here on the episode of the podcast is we would love some of you to come along and volunteer with us. We will have a stand there and we'll be there all day, every day. And we would love it if somebody listening could get in touch with us, sign up to be a volunteer and join us at the RNIB stand. It'll be a lot of fun. Basically, you'll be talking to, they're expecting over 30,000 people across the 3 days. That's incredible. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of burgers, isn't it? That's a lot of people to talk to about sight loss. I suppose that's what we're really there to do. We're here to talk about what RNIB does, the support and the services we offer, but also just to raise public awareness of sight loss, taking care of your eyes. Our campaign that we talk about is Eye Care, We Care. And we want to raise awareness of sight loss, the RNIB services, and literally just share what we do. So if you think that could be something you could get involved with, if you want to get involved in the day, you're talking just turn up in a pink RNIB t-shirt and just join the gang and just be there. If you can spare 1 or 2 hours, maybe you can spare half a day, maybe you can spare a whole day, whatever you can do will really, really help us. So get in touch via the email address rnabni@rnib.org.uk, and we would love to chat to you if that's something you feel you can get involved with. But anyway, me, Laura and Kirsty went up to the BRM headquarters up there in Derry, Londonderry, and I grabbed a word with Stephen Keighley, the CEO himself, and this is how we got on. Okay, I'm here with Stephen Keighley. Now, Stephen is the Managing Director of the BRM Group. Stephen, you're very welcome on the RNIB and I podcast.
Nice to meet you, Joe.
That's very good. So tell me a little bit about, so the Rev It Up Festival.
Yes.
Tell me, this is the second year.
This is year three.
Oh, year three, sorry. Yes. I stand corrected. Yes. I sit corrected.
This is year three, yes. We started in 2024.
Yeah.
So my involvement with... I don't come from a festival event management background. I've been involved in...
But you're here now.
Well, I've somehow found my way into it. So we got involved back in September 23. We went to a few local tractor pull events,
mm-hmm.
and sparked a bit of an interest in the sport and what it's all about. And we attended 4 or 5 local events. And as we progressed through the winter into 24... the team here decided maybe it's an idea, seeing as we're attending a lot of other family events, that we as a business could maybe create our own event,
mm-hmm.
and do something for the business, do something for good causes, and do something maybe for the communities.
Yeah.
So that's how the thought process around bringing Rev It Up to life came around.
Mm-hmm. Super. We'll get on to the festival lineup in a minute, but sure. Just... So RNIB are one of the named charities.
You are indeed.
Yes, along with Pulmonary Fibrosis NI as well.
Correct.
And that is incredible. It's a massive support to the charity.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit why you chose those two charities.
Yep. So, absolutely. Yeah. So in the first instance, we had, I suppose, RNIB had been earmarked for 2024. On account of my mum.
Mm-hmm.
So my mum has been losing her eyesight quite significantly over the last 3-4 years. Led a normal life like anyone else. She worked down the post office in Limavady and was leading her normal daily routine, and then sadly her eyesight started to go. She always had, I suppose, trouble on one side, and she had one good eye, one short-sighted eye. And then due to a problem where, is it her macro hole, she lost her eyesight, well, 99%, well, I'd say about 90%, 95% of her eyesight in one eye. So yeah. We wanted to do our NIB in 24. Mm. A local man, Fudge, he was known as Jared McGonigal up in Dungiven.
Mm-hmm.
He was going through... I think it was a liver transplant at the time, and the local community got together and said, look, you're pulling off this big charity festival, would you do it for Jared, because he's just gone through his transplant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we thought, okay, well then let's do this for pulmonary fibrosis for this local man, and then we can pull the two charities together next year.
Yeah.
All right, in 25, which we did do.
So, Stephen, RNIB will be there all weekend sharing our eye health messages and Eye Care, We Care. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with RNIB and, how, most importantly, how people can get a ticket for this year's Rev It Up.
Yeah. So obviously, on behalf of myself and the team at Rev It Up and BRM, we're delighted to have RNAB in the field. You can imagine for us as a family, when our mother lost her eyesight or the most of her eyesight and was registered blind, the shock that is. We didn't see this coming. This is an able-bodied woman out there to work every day, and all of a sudden life completely changed for her and us. So it's only then you realise then the service that you guys provide and how important advice and guidance is, and that we can go and talk to somebody and say, how do we handle this? How do we cope with this as a family, which you guys have been great at? RNAB will always be in the Rev It Up field. You have a home there now.
That's wonderful to hear, Stephen.
Well, we're absolutely delighted to have you there. We welcome your entire organisation to come down and enjoy the weekend. I think it's great that you're there explaining to people about blindness and about help and advice, because at the end of the day, we were people that didn't realise it was going to touch our lives.
Yeah.
Until it crept on the door and we went, wow, how do we deal with this?
We always say, like, sight loss doesn't just happen to the person, it happens to the whole family too, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I personally experience it. I didn't realise as you get older and older and older, and I'm now just turning nearly 50, my eyesight today is a lot less than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? So it affects everyone. On everyone coming along, we have put out revitup.com, which would be a good starting point. You're going to click into that and follow. We have advertised our tickets on sites like Eventbrite. So if you go to revitup.com, it'll guide you to where you can buy your ticket. I would say just that in terms of cost, and I know everyone with the cost of living and the challenges this year, we have been very, very reasonable on our prices. And I want to just explain to everyone listening what's included in this. So if you were, for example, to buy a family pass for four, it covers you for £100 for the full 3 days, which is roughly about £8 each.
Very good value.
And that gets you into all the music. It's a take-out Collins where you'll have to pay. You have a free kids park there. You get access to all the music in the marquee and the headline acts, all the Tractor Pull. So we think for by that and some parking fee, it's probably about half of any other festival in terms of cost this year. So we've been very reasonable and very fair.
Yeah.
We want this people to come along and for the festival to grow. You know what I mean? And we appreciate it's tough times for everybody. So I hope people will come, have a good time at it. And I know as a team, I'd like to just as well thank my own wider team at BRM, because they've been working for months, as you appreciate, and preparing for this. Like, there's a lot of effort goes in. We don't, as a business, have a big events company behind this, believe it or not. We actually build this festival in our own time. So myself, my family, all my staff, we give up all our own time outside of work to try and build this festival.
Yeah.
So, like I say, people can appreciate that it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of planning, and to pull off something this scale, you know. Like I say, this is unique. It's bespoke because it hasn't been done before.
It's incredible. It really is. Just listening to you talk about it, you're obviously very passionate about this.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, I'm passionate about anything I do in life. I'm passionate about my family, my business.
Yeah.
Like I say, my wife Pamela and me, we put a lot of time into our own company and into this festival. We took the decision if we're going to do this, we do it right.
I like it. Yep.
And
absolutely.
There's no shortcuts this time. Everything has been put on to a proper high-spec standard. I'm excited because I'm doing something that's never been done. So will this four-park sledge arena work? You know, can we make it work? No one's done that simultaneously before. So, you know, I'm excited to see, will this actually work? And if it does, you know, how incredibly successful this can be going forward.
Great. Well, Stephen Keighley, it's been fantastic talking
to
you.
Joe, lovely to meet you, and thank you very much for
the
time.
No problem at all. You've heard it here, folks. Go to revitup.com to get your ticket information, and hopefully we'll see you in July, Stephen.
You will certainly see me in July.
Thank you. So joining me online today, I've got Joanne Wilson, our Volunteer Engagement and Communications Manager. Joanne, thank you very much indeed for your time today.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's lovely to be here.
So tell me, it's Volunteers Week. What's happening? We're very, very proud of our volunteers. So share a little bit about what's going on with volunteering in RNAB.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so Volunteers Week, it's just such a special time for us to celebrate our volunteers, you know, the incredible people giving their time and their energy and passion to support RNIB. And, you know, our volunteers make such a difference every day, helping people with sight loss to feel supported and connected and confident. And we couldn't do what we do without their contributions. So Volunteers Week is just a chance for us to really shout about that. And we've a few different things that we'll be doing. We'll be sharing lots of our volunteer stories. So we absolutely love to hear from our volunteers and to share their stories about what they're doing, what they're getting up to, the impact they've made, what they love about volunteering. So we've a collection of some really, really lovely volunteer stories that will be posted through all of our channels and our social media and on our Connect Radio. We've got some lovely, lovely content there. And we'll also be having an event for volunteers, which is online, and that will be taking place on Tuesday, the 2nd of June.
Oh, super. Right. And that'll be just on Teams or whatever, is it?
Yeah, so it's on Teams. And the lovely thing about this event, it's called Keeping in Touch, and it's hosted by, facilitated, planned entirely by a team of volunteers. They run these events throughout the year. We usually have around 3 or 4, but we always have a very special one for Volunteers Week. And we're going to be joined by Simon, our new CEO.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so that'll be lovely. It'll be a great chance for volunteers to meet Simon, to ask him some questions, to get to know him a little bit.
I mean, it blows my mind that people will know the sooty boxes, that you know the RNIB collection boxes that we use. And they're all managed and collected by volunteers, aren't they?
Yes, it's unreal. It's such an amazing service and such a great opportunity for those to get involved with who would like to volunteer. And it's very flexible. And we're going to be sharing a story from one of our city volunteers as part of the Volunteers Week celebration. So and they just talk about the difference that it's made to their life and also the difference that they make going out and doing that role and how it fits so easily into their lives as well. So that'll be a really lovely service for us to hear more about.
Absolutely. I suppose it's important too to kind of point out that whilst I suppose people might think sometimes that volunteering is maybe for people who are sighted, but there's plenty of volunteers who are blind and partially sighted, isn't there, as well?
Oh, absolutely. We have so many within RNIB, our latest volunteer, we have 2,593 volunteers who supported us in our most recent quarter, and that's in nearly 3,000 roles. And of that, 72% are blind or partially sighted.
Wow.
So, yeah, so there's so many opportunities and so many roles to get involved with where you can just lend your skills that match with what you want to do. And I think it's important to say as well, off that number of volunteers, we also have over 1,500 who specifically volunteered with RNIB just to share their lived experience of sight loss in one way too. So, yes, there's such a mix of opportunities to get involved with. And it's amazing to have that lived experience brought into that too. And it's also amazing for people who have volunteered that maybe didn't know an awful lot about sight loss before. And it's really just allowed them to learn more about that journey and to support people in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I'm always struck by the fact that even if people can volunteer and be hands-on and be practical, or you can come along and just come and talk to, we do lots of events where there's room, there's an opportunity to talk and share your experience,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your sight loss journey, maybe even your journey into volunteering with others, and that's what helps others understand. Because I think people use the word volunteer, I mean, sometimes people don't really know what it means, mm-hmm. But it can mean all sorts of things.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like you say, just lending those skills in different ways, you know, like some of the roles that we have in RNIB, you know, we've got telephone group facilitators, we've got volunteers that support us with products, with technology, with research panels. We've got people, like you say, that come along and support at events and supporters that help with our groups and that come alongside people in buddy roles. And we've got counsellors and public speakers and transcription volunteers that record for transcription and the reading and the books that get sent out to people. And it's just a huge range of opportunities there that people can get involved with. And that's only some of them. That I'm not even naming them all. That's some of the roles that you know we have that people are involved with.
Absolutely.
And lots of people that do more than one role as well, that, you know, cross over and start in one role and then move to another. And I think that's always lovely to see also.
Multitasking volunteers.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I suppose it's important sort of to talk about too with volunteering. It's not just about what you can give to others. It's also about what you receive or what you get to as a person, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, we hear so much from volunteers about what that brings to them and it brings to their lives, you know, an improvement in your well-being, that sense of connection, you know, getting to meet up new people, building friendships, helping others and sharing your experience, and really the benefits that brings back to you, and also learning and development. You learn so much from your volunteering experience, and you learn so much from others and from what they go through. And I think that makes such a difference. And that's the feedback we hear all the time. You know, you're given a lot, you're helping people to become less isolated, you're sharing information and raising awareness and being there when it really matters the most to others. And the sense of fulfillment that brings back, you know, is really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started with RNAB as a volunteer many moons ago. What was then Sound Vision Ulster, or Sound Vision Online as it became. I started volunteering then. Yeah.
No, absolutely. You know, and it's such, and that's a really important point too with employment. You know, even just if we look at the last sort of year within volunteering, we had 13 volunteers that left the role to move into employment. And, you know, and some of those were blind or partially sighted. So they use the volunteering as, you know, a real platform to move into employment for those that are looking for, you know, that experience and for that to become their next step. That's just something to add in as well about how, you know, it can really benefit people.
I suppose the obvious question then is, I mean, if I'm sat listening to this now, how do I find out more? How do I get involved with that?
Yes, so you can go onto our website, and the specific page for volunteering is www.rnib.org.uk/volunteering. You could also call us on the helpline, so you can call 0303 123 9999, and it's option 4, or you could just send us an email, and that's volunteering@rnib.org.uk. And we've got a great team of people that would love to talk to you, can let you know what opportunities are available. You might have specific skills that you wish to use. We can chat through those, and we would love to hear from anyone that's interested in finding out more.
Fantastic. Well, Joanne, thank you so much indeed for your time today.
Thanks, Joe. Lovely to chat.
Thank you very much indeed to Joanne Wilson there. And if you want to get involved with volunteering, whether it's at the Rev It Up Festival coming up in July or anything else that Joanne is talking about, just get in touch, rnabni@rnab.org.uk, or visit our website at rnab.org.uk/volunteering. Now, over to our regular campaigns and policy update, courtesy of Paula Beattie and Alan Russell, audio courtesy of RNAB Connect Radio.
It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB Northern Ireland's campaigns team. Paula Beattie is with us. Thanks for joining us, Paula.
Thank you, Alan. Nice to hear from you again, yep.
We're back with two topics to get through today. I've got a great piece coming up on technology and public transport. But let's start, first of all, with some elections news, because next year, Northern Ireland, you guys have got your elections. So lots of work to do in terms of accessible voting and manifestos as well.
RNAB are now working on developing our manifestos for both the Assembly elections and our local government, our council elections. And we're also working to coordinate with our Vision Impairment Sector Forum, 9 organisations here in Northern Ireland who work on vision impairment, to develop the manifesto for the VI Sector Forum as well. So a lot of work has gone on at the moment, Alan, around our key asks: health, transport, public space and education and young people, children's issues and employment. All of those areas, obviously accessible voting, been very key in that as well. And a lot of the focus for us will be on some of the inequality issues that we would have here in Northern Ireland with regards to disability legislation and poverty legislation and all of that kind of thing. So, for instance, you know, you have the Equality Act in GB that we don't have here in Northern Ireland. So our disability discrimination legislation is a bit behind, shall we say. And also, for instance, the post-19 provision support in Northern Ireland for young people with vision impairment stops at 19.
And accessible voting always part of that run up to elections as well, Paula. You know, in Scotland, yes. England, Wales, etc., you know, we had lots on tactile voting devices. The Scottish Government brought in these cardboard overlays to help with making voting more accessible. Similarly, I would imagine for Northern Ireland as well.
It's always a very key ask, and we have been working, as I said before, with the electoral office in Northern Ireland in terms of getting the accessible voting as best as we can with the telephone line that we have here as well. I suppose important just to point out, unlike Scotland and indeed Wales, there is no devolved responsibility here around accessible voting. That is completely sits with Westminster. So everything that we do is really not tinkering around the edges, but we can't work at the legislative level. We don't have the same control, but it's always something that is very much pushed on that operational level with our colleagues in the electoral office and the electoral commission, and indeed our colleagues in the VI sector. And this year in particular, we have a programme of work developed with the electoral office as well, which has proven very positive, including getting a bit more of that training and awareness with the polling station staff.
I was casting my vote this year, Paula, in Scotland, and it went well. The staff were very helpful, very up to speed on the new cardboard overlays that we have here. And, you know, I could call up and get my candidates list on a phone line if I wanted. And you sometimes wonder, why is it so difficult? Why is it taking so long to get something that just lets me put a cross in a box and lets me listen to candidates? That's all I need.
When it comes to vision impairment, we tend to be at the lower end of priorities. Indeed, disability generally we'd find here in Northern Ireland, but that's part of our role, is to get us right up there. I have to say, our experience this time round with the electoral office, electoral commission, they're really up a gear, Alan. So we've definitely seen a bigger focus in terms of the needs of voters coming in with vision impairment, and I think that's a positive. Do you know, when it comes to polling station staff, a lot of the time it's not a deliberate, it is a barrier, but they're not doing anything deliberately. It's still that lack of awareness and lack of information. And some of those myths, you know, if you don't have a dog along with you, or if you don't have a white cane, or you don't, as what some will say, and for, you know, well, the person didn't look like they had vision impairment. If they don't see that, then they don't acknowledge anything like that at all. I don't understand. So you're constantly on that education programme as well.
Well, we're following your progress on that one, Paula, before the elections. They'll be here before you know it. Let's go on to some technology news now in transport, because NaviLens is playing a part once again in independent travel.
Translink here, which is the travel delivery partner here, and Translink have launched their state-of-art navigation and information technology at the Belfast Grand Central Station. So really the NaviLens there is to enhance accessibility for anyone with vision impairment with regards to navigating the bus and train station there. Important to say that's actually the first integrated bus and rail station in the UK and Ireland to use NaviLens, and indeed we found out it's the second in the world. So it's really right up there, and I think from our point of view, really important to say that RNIB and our team here, policy and campaigns, and then to our social action team and our comms team, have been very instrumental working in partnership with Translink in having the NaviLens service developed and within the Grand Central Station right from the very start. And Translink have said it themselves openly to government officials that they don't think the NaviLens service would have been available at Belfast Grand Central Station if it weren't for the input, guidance and support from RNIB in Northern Ireland. So it's a really, really, it's a big piece of work for us, and we're really delighted to see that has finally been launched.
Well done to you guys for being pivotal in that happening. So basically anyone who has the NaviLens app can turn up to that transport hub, and you know, when they switch it on, it'll help guide them around the place.
They download the free app and they're able to use that, and that the technology is designed to work along with everything in TransLink. And it obviously looks not just the systems installation and the language. And our social action team have been excellent also in bringing, accompanying people on sort of making that journey the first time they use NaviLens and navigating the station and that sort of thing. So it's been an excellent piece of work. I think it's been a very great example of how us within the independent charity sector can work with a particular organisation, a private and a private sector, and in the public sector as well. And we will continue to review along with TransLink how that is working. And indeed, we would love to see, Alan, that the TransLink might be able to work, budget, obviously constraints permitting, but able to develop the NaviLens system further across Northern Ireland. So again, we hope to work with them on that piece of work as well. And hopefully we'll encourage more blind and partially sighted people to use the services within the Grand Central station as well.
Absolutely, getting out and about. Yeah. We're almost out of time, Paula, but if people would like to get involved with campaigns or find out more about what you guys are up to, is there a way to do that?
Well, they basically contact our campaigns NI mailbox and they will get one of our team, and we will be free and available to answer any of the questions they might have, particularly coming up to the elections. Really encourage people, if they want to get involved or put any ideas across to us or any key concerns they might have that they want us to put to MLAs or indeed to the local councillors as well. And that email address is campaignsni@rnib.org.uk.
Fantastic, Paula. Great to chat with you as always. Some great news there, and we'll catch up with you again next month here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Of course, of course. Thank you very much, Alan.
So regular listeners to the podcast will probably already know about NaviLens and RNIB's work with TransLink to bring NaviLens wayfinding to the new Belfast Grand Central station. Colin Delaney from our policy and campaigns team, as well as Paula as well, have spoke about our work in the public transport sort of sector, if you like. We've got a brilliant interview coming up here with Chris Conway, the outgoing CEO of TransLink. And Chris, he talks quite generously about the work, the partnership work with RNIB, Guide Dogs and IMTAC, and not just NaviLens, but other projects too. It's a great interview. Stick around for that one. We then have Raoul from NaviLens, who was over at the launch in May, and I grabbed a word with him just to chat a little bit more about, what NaviLens plans are for the future. Where can you find out more about NaviLens? Because not just in Grand Central Station, it's in other locations too. However, Grand Central Station is the first bus or train station in UK and Ireland to implement NaviLens, so that's worth knowing as well. I encourage you to try it. I love it. I'm a big fan. I use it every time I go to the station. So I encourage you to download the app, and if you haven't already, you know, try it out. And then we catch up with Tori Tennant, as I said at the start of the podcast. Tori is, like myself, she's blind, and Tori uses public transport a lot and likes NaviLens, and we have a bit of a chat around other aspects of public transport too. I want to thank Chris Conway for agreeing to talk to us, and Raoul as well from NaviLens. And I hope you enjoy this, guys. Thank you very much.
I'm thrilled to be joined by Chris Conway, CEO of TransLink here in Northern Ireland. Chris, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be here.
Fantastic, Chris. Thank you. So I know you're a very busy man, so we won't keep you. But I suppose we're just fresh from the launch of the NaviLens installation in Grand Central Station, Belfast. And I mean, it was a great event for a start. It was wonderful to see all this work coming together and sort of culminating in a great event where people got to sort of, you know, celebrate the different partners that have been involved and what this means for certainly people who can't see to be able to use the station. But what's your reflection, I suppose, on bringing NaviLens to Grand Central Station, and what's your reflection now after the launch has sort of happened?
Well, look, we're really pleased with NaviLens. We're really pleased with the engagement we've had with NaviLens, but also the engagement with RNIB and other organisations to make sure the design and the implementation of it was really good and was fit for purpose for Grand Central Station. We've really wanted to focus Grand Central Station on being an accessible station for everyone. And you know, it's one of the first installations in the UK and Ireland. And, you know, it provides that enhanced independence for everyone, improved wayfinding. People will get, you know, real-time audio guidance, not just around the station, but, you know, what else is happening in the station through the app, which is free for everyone to download. And we just think it's a great advancement for accessibility and a great technology.
Fantastic. It is. I mean, I'm blind myself, and I just love NaviLens because it's just so... my phone is never out of my hand, really. So to have kind of this technology on the phone ready for me to use is superb, like, I must admit.
Great. It's great to get that feedback, Joe. And we want people to use it and give us the feedback, because it's that sort of co-creation, co-design that's really important. And we will certainly take that feedback, work with NaviLens, because it is quite an innovative technology and it is one of the first of its kind, and certainly the UK and Ireland. I think we can help other people across the region as well.
Was there, amongst the kind of translate management, was there a bit of nervousness about bringing something like NaviLens into the design of Grand Central Station? Because I know it's, even when I'm talking to people who know about assistive technology, NaviLens is still quite, it's sometimes quite a difficult concept to explain, to get your head around, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there's always a bit of, apprehension about bringing in a new technology, and specifically making sure it worked for the intended audience, and this particularly for people who are blind and partially sighted. So I think, you know, and really appreciate the support from RNIB, Joe, because it was really important we engaged early with yourselves and made sure we listened to what was really required and what users really wanted to experience when they were using the technology. So I think that really took the apprehension away, and we realized that actually this is something that was really needed by the blind, partially sighted community, and that helped us develop it and work with it. So I think that engagement has been critical to it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think from RNIB's point of view, we were just very, very glad to be a part of that process, because it's in something as vital as public transport, having blind and partially sighted people, any person with a disability, having their input into the design and the installation of features is key, isn't it?
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. I mean, co-design is so important to us, and we learned a lot when we were implementing Glider about 10 years ago now, nearly, you know, about how important co-design was. And we've started to work more and more on that sort of approach for everything that we do in public transport now.
It would be remiss of me not to mention, you're leaving your role in TransLink very soon, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Joe. I've nearly 11 years as chief executive of TransLink, so I'll be leaving at the end of June.
Wow. I mean, looking back, 11 years, I was... I'd kind of forgotten some of the things that you've been sort of in charge of, if you like. Glider, as you mentioned, is one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, Glider was one where we worked very hard with RNIB, MTAC, Guide Dogs for the Blind, lots of different organizations to make sure that we provided that solution as accessible as possible. And we learned from that. We learned a lot. Bus stops, even, you know, the Glider halts and things like that as well. So we've done that now in terms of bus procurement, low floor access to buses, for example, audiovisual on buses as well. And that's something we want to try and roll out across our entire fleet. Low floor access at Grand Central Station and trains. And we've started to try and work a lot on, you know, co-design of those types of challenges in public transport. And we know there are still lots of challenges out there, and it's important we continue to work and engage with yourselves on them.
RNIB welcome that. I know we do. One thing, though, for me personally, the thing that stands out, I think, for me in the last couple of years is the introduction of the, you know, the audio-visual announcements on buses and trains.
Yes.
I know it's been on trains for quite a while, but the buses was massive, like, to me personally as a commuter. You know, I just thought it was so important.
Yeah, and look, we have it right across Metro now, and as you say, on the railway, and our plan is to roll it out right across Ulster Bus as well, and that's a key initiative for us over the next few years.
I imagine that when you finally sort of pack your stuff and leave your office in TransLink at the end of the month, say, there's a list of things you'll be passing on to your successor. Would to roll out more installations at NaviLens be amongst that list of?
Well, I think rolling out technology generally, I would say yes, Joe. I mean, NaviLens is very suited to a big station like Grand Central Station. Some of our smaller stations, we already have audio and things, and it's how NaviLens would fit within that. We're working at bus stops and different things around digital at stop displays at halts and smaller stations as well with audio information on it. So yes, definitely we want to explore with NaviLens how it can be used in other stations. And I think it's a mix of technologies will probably be the right solution, but definitely NaviLens would probably have further applications, I would say.
Looking back in your 11-year tenure, is there other highlights that you would pick out yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, some of my highlights has been working with the likes of yourselves, Joe and RNIB, Guide Dogs for the Blind, for example, as well. I remember in my very first couple of years, I did a blind walk with Guide Dogs for the Blind. You put a blindfold on and you take a walk around the city with a guide dog and experience what it's like for a blind person. That was very powerful for me, to really understand and what it meant. I also was pleased to do disability quality training and I went with June and her guide dog Clive around the network and experienced what it was like for her getting on and off buses and trains and getting that experience. So I think that training at a senior level is really important, and in fact quite a few of the senior team have done that type of training to really get a better understanding of what it's like to be disabled, to be blind or partially sighted using our services. And I think it really helps then when you're looking at projects to give them a priority in the business.
I know that amongst the sight loss community, to see like senior leaders like yourself take part in these kind of awareness training days and experience-led initiatives really does instill a bit of confidence, I think. It shows that you're prepared to, try these things and see what it's like and, get a different perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to do it, at a senior leadership level, because it just, it's a huge experience. And I remember to this day, and it gives you a real understanding of what it's like to have a disability and to use public transport, and sort of creates a huge amount of awareness for those needs.
Most of our guests that we bring onto the podcast, we ask them the same question just to get their thoughts. But if you had a magic wand, Chris, and you had it there in your hand today, what one thing would you like to do to kind of improve the experience of people who are blind or partially sighted?
It's a toughie to answer that in one sentence. Look, I think we've mentioned it a few times through the podcast, Joe, is the whole idea of co-design and working together to get the right solutions to remove barriers and to make public transport really accessible to everyone with a disability, and to your members, Joe, in RNIB, who are blind and partially sighted. So I think certainly more of that was really important. If I had the magic wand, it would be to be able to take everything we know about design and co-design and accessible public transport now, and be able to hit the magic wand to all of our legacy infrastructure and update it all in one go, if you like. Yes. Because I think the challenge is we work through the future designs, but we've got this huge legacy infrastructure, and it's the magic wand would be to turn that all into today's modern accessible infrastructure.
I think that would be most welcome. Yeah, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? I know what you're saying. There's so much that exists, and it has to all be cared for and taken care of, and it takes a lot of budget, I'm sure, to upkeep all that kind of infrastructure, as you say.
Yeah, and it's to make it accessible. That we have stations and we have halts and things like that aren't as accessible as we want them to be, but the investment to get them to where they need to be to today's standards is huge. So I think that's where the magic wand would come in, Joe.
Very, very handy indeed. Well, Chris, I just want to wish you luck for your future endeavours when you leave your role in TransLink, and it's been wonderful talking to you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Joe, and it's been great. And I know my successor is committed in this area too, Joe, and we'll continue the good work that's been started.
Fabulous, Chris. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I'm Raul Moreno, Head of Sales and Strategic Partnership in Navilens.
Raul, thank you very much for talking to me today. So can I ask you, what's your position in Navilens?
I'm Head of Sales and Strategic Partnership in Navilens. We help to the organization to work with a local partnership to implement the solution in around the world.
And where do you work? Where are you based?
Well, Navilens is a Spanish company. We're based in Murcia, a sunny city in the south of Spain, near Alicante, and I invite you to visit us.
So, obviously, I told you earlier, I'm blind, I can't see anything. How would you sort of sell Navilens to me, or what's the best bits about it?
Well, Navilens works for a lot of challenges for the blind or partially sighted users. Navilens is a colorful technology that can be detected for the smartphone, a standard smartphone. You don't need a special or powerful smartphone, Android or iOS, and detect easily in distance with a wide angle, with a movement. You don't need to focus precisely. And Navilens provide audible information where the Navilens code is implemented.
Yeah.
Could be a station for a bus stand, for training platform, or in a domestic area.
I must admit, I love Navilens. I think it's really, really good here in Belfast Grand Central Station. Are there many other bus and train stations like this in Europe?
In United Kingdom and Ireland, not. Belfast Grand Station is the first one, it's pioneer, and is the pioneer of the solution in this area. But Navilens is available in a lot of metro stations, for example, the city of Barcelona, all the metro network has Navilens, all the 260 subway stations has Navilens. In more than 35 cities in Spain has Navilens in bus stop and around the world. Navilens is available in Melbourne with Yara trams, is available in Singapore, in Riyadh, is available in the city of Rome and some other cities around Europa. And Navilens is available for great and accessible public transport.
Not to get too technical, but the reason why Navilens is such a great success is because no matter what language you speak or what country you're in, it uses the speech on your own phone.
That is one of the most powerful features of Navilens. You don't need to select your language. Navilens automatically detects the language in your phone and provides the content in your own language.
What's your future plans for Navilens? Is there anything exciting that's coming up, or where are you working next?
Well, Navilens is continuing improving the solution. Navilens is in contact with association who provide more ideas to implement. Navilens is continuing for using for use cases. Now at the moment, public transport, consumer goods, museum, corporate buildings, city buildings are as a basic use cases.
Yeah.
And we are adding more use cases or solution. More feature to be independent, for example, in retail stores. You know that the retail experience is not easy for blind or partially sighted users. Navilens are working with brands as a P&G, as a Kellogg's across Europe.
Yeah.
We're linking the consumer good with Navilens, but in the Kingdom and Northern Ireland is one of the top countries where Navilens is implemented in consumer goods. This is a pioneer. We're focused on accessible information for consumer good, and we are very happy to know that this beautiful country are pushing hard to improve the information for everyone.
If somebody watching wants to find out more about Navilens, where can they find out more?
You will find a lot of new information, a blog, best practice information, where Navilens is available. And if you ask for, you visit navilens.com, you will check a lot of information. And if you need more information, you can contact us by the webpage for that.
Brilliant. Well, Raul, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Okay, joining me now on the RNAB NI podcast, we have Tori Tennant, who is a blind person living in the Ballymena area. Isn't that right, Tori?
That's correct, Joe. Yes, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Thank you so much indeed for chatting to me. We've heard from Chris Conway, the CEO of Translink there, and off the back of the launch of the Navilens system in the Grand Central Station, Belfast. And I know that I've met you in the bus station a few times now. You're a frequent user of public transport.
Oh, absolutely. I would be. I'm never off the trains.
And I suppose just for those listening at home, what sort of things like NaviLens make it easier or make it possible for people like yourself and myself to use public transport with confidence? Is there what do you rely on?
Yes, well, as you know, NaviLens is obviously it's a wayfinding system, and while it was originally introduced for visually impaired people, I think anybody coming to Belfast for the first time, just download the app. It'll speak it to you. It tells you the when the next departures are. It tells you, you know, bus and train. It also helps you navigate around the station. And I just think it's a fantastic system, and I think more places should be using it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. For me, it's getting rid of that little niggly doubt that you might have about where you are, where your bus mm-hmm. stand is, or your train platform, isn't it? It's just anything that makes you confident, makes you more independent, is a good thing, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, that's what it's all about. And you know, there are plenty of staff as well if you do get stuck. But sometimes, you know, you do just want that wee bit more independence, you know, and you don't want to be asking someone all the time. But the fact that you can just take out your phone and it'll find the codes, you know, once you move about a bit with the phone, it's just fantastic. And it gives you it's up to 5 departures at a time, I think.
Oh, it does. It reads loads of them out. There is sometimes so much thing as too much information.
Absolutely.
But at least you have the choice, and that's the point, isn't it? If you don't want to read it, you don't have to, but it's there.
Exactly. It is all about choice, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. I do get a sense of satisfaction when I walk into the bus station in Belfast. I would go to Newry quite a bit, or else a bit the bus to Derry, Londonderry, and to be able to know that I know that the Newry buses stand 5, and I can get there myself, and it's quite gives me a kind of sense of satisfaction, I suppose, that I don't need
Absolutely.
To wait. Yeah,
you're not waiting on someone coming and getting on you and possibly forgetting you, or you know, it just makes the journey a little bit more smoother, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And are you a cane user or a guide dog user, Tori?
At the minute, I'm a guide dog owner, so I am. So I'm working my second guide dog at the minute. But, you know, it's still handy to have just that little bit more information, because obviously the dog can only work you so far, and, you know, it doesn't know what bus you need to get.
Yeah, they're clever, but they're not that clever.
Definitely not.
You wouldn't believe, I've been asked in the past about, can you tell the guide dog where you want to go? Well, of course you can't, but...
the public believe that you can. They seem to think you just tell it we're going to Tesco's and it says, right, okay.
What's your guide dog's name?
So my guide dog is called Vivi.
Vivi. Yeah. Ah, very good. And you were a cane user before that, were you?
I was, yes. And I would always carry the cane with me, you know, just in case. But I've never had to use it with Vivi, thank goodness. But and there is also the tactile walkway if you're a cane user as well, which is very helpful.
I'm a big fan of that one too.
It's it and York Street Station are, I think they're the first stations to have it, aren't they?
I think so. That's just the kind of raised sort of tactile strip that runs along the ground that you can follow with the end of your cane, or your foot even. You can follow with your feet too. Is. Yeah.
But it's definitely handy, you know, because it'll take you directly to where you need to go, you know.
Yeah, I like it because it leads you, when you're going out, going in or out of the door, it takes you right through the middle of the door, so you don't bump into the edge of the door, which
it's
is quite
fantastic,
nice.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice thing, that, actually. I like that. But it's quite funny, when I'm walking through the bus station too, sometimes people, without knowing, sort of have they're standing on the tactile strip, or maybe they've got a bag sitting on it, and I'm sort of coming towards them, and they've no choice but to move, because I'm not stopping.
Definitely not. You've got to catch.
Is there other aspects to public transport that you particularly would see as helpful or you know, essential for your journeys?
Well, I would rely on getting assistance on and off the train quite a bit. And that's purely because I had a bit of a bad experience on the trains. So I always like to know that there will be someone to help me on and off. But, you know, usually once I'm on slash off, that I'm grand after that, you know. So and you know, Grand Central Station is overflowing with staff. You know, you can't really walk 10 feet without bumping into a member of staff.
And the audiovisual announcements on the trains and buses are great, aren't they?
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah, they really are fantastic. You'd be lost without them, you know.
I remember the days gone by before they had the audio announcements on the metro buses. I used to have to sit and you'd time the journey, you know. But then sometimes you'd doze off and miss the turn in the road.
Oh, I know.
I've done that many a time.
Oh, absolutely. And then you're going, where am I?
I've been that person who got to the end of the bus line and had to get a bus back again.
Oh, gosh.
I've done that.
It's never good. Again, the Navi Lens is for everybody. You know, tourists, I think there's something like 42 languages on it, isn't there? While it was designed for visually impaired, anybody can use it. And I've actually had security guards in the station come up to me and go, what are those colourful QR codes? And I go, oh, that's Navi Lens. And then they download the app and then they're going, oh, this is fabulous.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you see, there's two apps, and one of the apps is for people who can see a bit and have useful vision, you know. That's great.
Yeah, it's definitely fantastic, and it would be good to get it rolled out on the likes of bus and glider stops, wouldn't it?
Oh, we'd love that. Oh, yeah. I know. Basically every bus station, train station across Northern Ireland.
Oh, I think yeah. That would be something to aim for, wouldn't it?
Right. That's what we're aiming for, Tori.
Absolutely.
Listen, thank you so much indeed for chatting to me today.
No problem, and thanks for having me.
Thank you to Tori there. That brings us to the end of another episode of the RNAB NI podcast. Thanks so much indeed for listening, as always. Remember, because we've changed our channel on Audioboom, the way the podcast is hosted, you now need to resubscribe and follow if you haven't done already. Though I'm guessing if you're listening to this, then you have. But it's worth always subscribing and leaving us even a review and rating the podcast. Really does help in boosting the podcast out to others. And you know, because of the change that we've made, you need to resubscribe and follow, whether you listen to Spotify or listen to us on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider. But as always, please get in touch, as I said at the start of the show, on rnabni@rnab.org.uk or on social media. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Blue Sky. Look for RNAB Northern Ireland. It's great to hear from you. As I said, if you do feel that you want to volunteer a few hours with us up at Rev It Up Festival on the 17th, 18th, 19th of July, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop us an email. That'd be excellent. And similarly, if you have any thoughts around the Navi Lens or even any other aspects of our policy and campaigns work, we really do value your input and opinion. So don't be shy. Just get in touch. That's it, folks. Thank you so much indeed for listening, as always. Remember, listen up, speak up, break down barriers. We will be back in July with another exciting episode. And if you have an idea for a podcast, if you want to get in touch, if you want to share your story, we would love to hear from you. But that's it, folks. Thank you so much indeed for listening, and I'll chat again next month. Differently.